Loving God, we thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for that love that pours through all of us, filling us with your joy. Light our souls on fire, God, so that we may know you, so that we may be known by our works serving you. Amen. In the gospel message we heard this morning, for Philip, there just wasn't a good enough answer. He wasn't satisfied with what he hears, right? Do you ever experience that? You ask a question, probably already knowing the answer that you want, and then you don't get that answer. And then you're like, yay, I like the new answer better, right? Isn't that what everyone does? It's not, right? So Philip was not satisfied with what he heard. He wanted to see the Creator. And aren't we all this way at times? Just wanting to catch a glimpse of God, unable or unwilling to recognize that we see God all the time in our lives. So Philip just doesn't really get it. And says, show us the Creator. And isn't really pleased with answers like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Right? You're like, show it to me. I want to see it. But you already see it because I'm the way. Like, I can imagine that that would be, like, not very satisfying for Philip. Jesus goes on to explain, to know God is to know what I have done, and puts a challenge on the hearts of the apostles, saying not only knowing what Jesus has done, but knowing God, which will enable them and all of us to do more. So like Philip, we are often unsatisfied. We do not realize our joy. We don't realize that our satisfaction is already here. Do you ever feel unsatisfied? Do you ever wonder if God is not here with you? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with feeling unsure. There's nothing wrong with feeling like maybe you're not seeing God or you're not hearing God, not feeling God's presence. It doesn't make us bad people to question. But what we know, what Scripture tells us, and what community tells us is that God is here, and God is moving through us. Jesus has promised us this. We have been promised this advocate, this, as I explained to the kids, paraclete, the Holy Spirit, that will move through us. And that's a little bit scary, right? Not scary like, you know, you think, oh, ghost stories are scary, but even scarier because if the Holy Spirit of God is moving with us, through us, inspiring us, then we are called to do something. And that's terrifying. It's easy to go through our day-to-day lives, doing what we got to do, get up, go to work, take care of all the things that need to be done on our little checklists, and forget that we are inspired by God in what we do. That there is an advocate, a Holy Spirit, that shapes us, moves us, calls us to something more. And this brings us to the story of Pentecost. Now, Pentecost was a Jewish festival, and all those gathered were of the Jewish faith. In fact, at this time in the history of Christianity, there wasn't Christianity yet. There were Jewish followers of the way. There were Gentile followers of the way. And in this gathering, this was Jewish followers. People from all over were gathered for this festival. Not just those who were following Jesus, but those who came in to celebrate Pentecost. And suddenly, there is this great whoosh this great sound that is not microphone feedback or anything like that. But I imagine that it is deafening. It is so loud that everyone is awake to it. They know that something is happening. And their souls are set on fire. Have you ever been on fire about something? Have you ever been so enthusiastic that it consumes every part of who you are? Have you ever felt love like that? Love for another person, love for a community, love for God that sets your soul on fire. So all of these people speaking different languages suddenly are able to understand. Because hearing is not about a function of the ears, and language isn't just about the words. When God opens up our hearts, we can hear. We can hear that message. We can take it in to ourselves. And they're all speaking in different sounds and different languages and accused of being drunk. Because isn't it so much easier to dismiss a miracle than to celebrate it? Right? Don't we do it in our own lives? If we witness something miraculous in our lives or in the life of someone else, especially, something wonderful happens, isn't it easier to say, that didn't happen? Right? I don't believe that. That great thing that happened in your life never happened. Because it's hard for us to believe in joy. It's hard for us to believe in transformation. It's hard for us to look at those who are doing well, who are inspired by the Spirit, and say, yes, I am part of this. Because when we watch and we see miracles, the scary thing isn't that they might not happen for us. The scary thing is that they might and will happen for us. Because once the miracle happens, everything changes. And even if we aren't happy in our lives, it's what we know. And this other thing, this changed thing, this miraculous thing, this set on fire with passion and enthusiasm thing, sounds like a lot of work, right? It sounds tiring and exhausting. And we live in a world right now that is crying out for the Holy Spirit. Not in a passive way, not saying, oh, well, I hope the Spirit comes and changes things. No, it is calling out for the Holy Spirit to move our lives so that we can bring change. When we see, even now, stories of two women who are a couple on public transit being told to kiss, and when they refuse, getting beaten up, the Holy Spirit is calling us to change things. When we hear Islamophobia in this world, when we hear people saying that all people who are Muslim are terrorists, the Holy Spirit is calling us to change things. And we had a Muslim woman join our church as a member this morning. Amen. Because we don't talk about solidarity. We live in solidarity. Truly, it is in our bones. It is who we are. And when the Parkland shooting happened, and these young activists in town needed a place to meet to plan, we opened up our doors. And when they needed people to show up, we showed up. Because we live in solidarity and because the Holy Spirit moves through us. That is what we do with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the scary part of all of this religion stuff. It's the part that gives us that kick that we need to go out there and do what needs to be done. That is being inspired by the Spirit. And Jesus told us that we would have an advocate sent to us. What does that advocate do? That advocate inspires us. That advocate moves inside our very being so that we ourselves become advocates. This message of Pentecost, this message that is spoken in all of the languages is so radically inclusive. We can't wrap our minds around it. And then we spent the last 2,000 years, we Christians, finding ways to exclude, finding ways to say, oh, the Holy Spirit came for me, not for those people over there. I'm inspired. I'm special. We do not define our specialness by saying that we are special and other people aren't. That's not what the advocate wants for us. That's not what we are told to do. Instead, we are told to be radically, profoundly inclusive so that everyone is welcome. And when we say everyone is welcome, we are talking about everyone being welcome, not just to a place that is safe, but to a place, as I've said before, where we are called to be brave, where we are called to transformation, where we are called to not live easy lives, but to live in this place of growth, challenging one another in the name of the Spirit. So what does that mean? I received a few questions this week about when we have protesters, why we don't let them inside. And I know I addressed it last week, but I'm going to expand on that just a little bit. When we say all people are welcome, we truly mean it. And we also mean that when all people are welcome, not all behaviors are welcome. People who want to have dialogue, people who want to be moved by the Spirit, people who want to support the work of Jesus Christ that we do in this church are always welcome. People who bring harm to this community in their actions and words for the safety of this community are not allowed inside. That doesn't mean that we do not love them like Jesus loves them. I hope that everyone who was witness to that protester last week, this week spent some time praying for him in a genuine way. Truly, I cannot imagine the amount of internal turmoil a person has, the amount of self-hatred and fear about their own sexuality to turn up at a church that welcomes LGBT people to protest people being welcomed. That's what the Holy Spirit moves us to do, to pray, to say, I don't know how to help this person who is not safe to bring inside, but we still pray. It's not a passive thing. It's not like, yeah, I'll pray for him. No, this is about moving in the Spirit. We don't want people who harm us to come inside and actually bring harm to us, and that's okay. We are allowed to have boundaries. Christ wants us to have boundaries. We do not need to be beaten up. Those women who refused to kiss did the right thing in the refusal. What happened to them is horrific. But it doesn't mean that they should have given in and put on a show for the people who threatened to attack them. And it is the same issue with allowing protesters in our doors. Now, they didn't try to come in. They don't want to come in. They don't want to be inspired by the Spirit that we have in this space. They just want to make us feel bad. So on this day of Pentecost, when we talk about radical inclusion, let's include everybody, even those who hate us, even those who are not safe to welcome or invite into our space, and let's know that we have the power to bring healing and wholeness to them and to this world. They have the power to accept it or not. But what we do is we bring God's love. We are inclusive, truly inclusive. And we love each other, and that doesn't mean that it is always perfect and easy. We love each other even when we stumble and make mistakes. God calls us to this beautiful thing. The advocate is here among us. The advocate is us, is in us, works through us. God has challenged us to do God's work in this world, and on this Pentecost Sunday, let's pray for some fire, because we need it in our lives, right? Don't we all need a little fire? Are you feeling like hungry and tired and all those things that you feel because you got a body and bodies are complicated, right? Well, let's set aside all of those ways that we are feeling and let ourselves be set on fire with that passion and spirit, what would it be like to just let go and let ourselves feel that love of Christ, let ourselves trust that we are called to something amazing as we do things like community forums and conferences where we have to vote on important things. Even in those moments, let's be set on fire, because that is what God is calling us to do. Jesus promised us that we would not be left as orphans. Using that language, I think, in our context is particularly important, because so many of us in this community have experienced that feeling of being orphaned. Many of us in this community have taken in actual children who needed parents. This promise of not being orphaned that Christ gives us and says, I will send an advocate. He says, I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, you will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also live. Let's live. Let's live in Jesus Christ's love. Let's choose to live. Choose to be alive, not just survive. Let's choose to have that spirit in us, that peace that the world does not give us, but that Christ can give us. Because it is only in that place that we can do the radical work that we are called as MCC. Our work is not done. We are here for a reason. Let's fill all these seats. Let's tell people about our spirit and our energy. Let's live our day-to-day life, not just on Sunday, but also on Monday, with that spirit, that fire, that passion that we have in this place. Amen.